Hi, this is Barb Sorrentino from Italian Roots and Genealogy, and I'm here today with a very special guest from Sicily, Italy, Francesco Curione from 007 Italian Records. So welcome, Francesco. It's great to have you here.
Ciao, nice to meet you. I'm super happy to be here.
No, that's great. It's amazing what we could do now 3,000 miles away.
I know. Okay, I am ready.
So I really want to ask you about 007 Italian Records. How and why did you start doing this research for people?
Okay, so this is a real and funny story because 4 years ago, I start a small business to renting holiday apps. And I put my house in Airbnb. I live in a small town in Temuntani, here in Sicily. So I said maybe no one will go to rent my small house. After 2 minutes I put my house in Airbnb, immediately a young girl from America, the name is Andrea, she contacted me, sent a message and said, "Ciao Francesco, I need to rent your house because I'm going to visit Sicily during the summer because I want to explore my ancestral town." She came from my same comune, Collesano, here in Italy. So I said, okay, why not, rent my house only for tonight. So when she arrived here, she asked me help. Say, "Francesco, can you please help me to translate for me?" Say, of course, but my English is not the best. Like, it's not the best right now. So I said, okay, but before you arrive here in Sicily, please give me some information. So she said, "I don't know a lot, but I know only the last name of my grandmother. My last name was Traina, so maybe you can ask some people in town." I say, "Okay, I will do a pre-work for you." So the next day I went in town and I started to ask about his last name. And I found, incredible, my neighbor, who lived really 2 steps far from my house, the last name was Traina. So I went in this old woman, I knocked the door and say, "Do you maybe have some relative in America who emigrated a long time ago?" And she told me, "Yes, Francesco, the name is Lucia, but we lost all the connection." I said, "Hold on, I found your family." So I contact Andrea, I send a message and say, "Andrea, please give me more information." She started building the tree. We together found what's the right line. Andrea arrived in Collesano, in my town, and me I translate for she during the 2 days. I found all the family. We went in the church, we went in the cemetery. They have big lunch together. So it was a big reunion. Andrea found finally the family. Before she leaving, she told me, "Francesco, but you are the best. You born for do this. Why you don't continue this?" And he said, "You know, I just finished my study law. I don't know if I can do this." She said, "No, Francesco, you born for this. Trust me, you did the best for me. My family is happy. Now I have a new Sicilian family thanks to you. Please continue." So when she came back in Buffalo, because she lived in Buffalo, New York, she have other friend who have the same family in my ancestral town, and I did the same work for other member of the family. So everybody was super happy, and everybody involved me to do, "Francesco, this is your job." So I start to open a small society here in Italy. I start to collect documents for people, and now I am 007. It's a funny name because I represent an agent, because I think in my work sometimes it's like I do a mission. My mission is make people happy, found the relative and hold the record.
I've spoken with a few other people who similar kind of stories where they kind of just fell into this role. You know, it wasn't planned. Somebody contacted them, or they had a family member or something like that. And they started a business behind that. And one very interesting one was they kind of just met on Facebook. And the person, it's up north, very obscure place up north. And Elena just said to her, "If you come here, I will show you around." And she started her business, very similar to your story, just kind of out of the blue and started a business. So with that, so you kind of fell into this thing, which is great. And I think you actually do some more than what regular people do, where you actually try to find church records for people, which a lot of people in America ask, and they can't find someone to do that.
Yes, it's true. The church is a big resource here in Italy. The church gives the possibility sometimes also people to apply in the consulate for become Italian citizen. Why? Because the first thing you need to do when you need to apply for Italian citizen is get an official document from the civil office. But for different reasons, sometimes the document is not in the office because the book is missing and fire destroyed the entire archive. At this point, the church is the more important option, the option number two. You need to know the archive of the church are so perfect. Everything is in order. Really perfect. Sometimes the book are write in Latin, so you need to read the Latin. And me in high school, I study some Latin, so I am not bad in this. But the only problem is found the priest. Why? Because the priest is busy all the time. The priest do wedding, the priest do funeral. So it's not like contact and public office. So you need to go to found the priest. And that is a real mission for 007, because sometimes they are also old. They don't use WhatsApp, they don't have mobile phone. So you need to call the local bar in the town and ask, can you give me the number of the priest for call him home? After when you found the priest, the second part is give a small donation at the priest. Because, you know, a small donation help the poor priest for going to the archive, after make the document for you and send it back to you via post. Because the document from a church for have valor legal for be used at a consulate required a second stamp. Because the church, in fact, is also a state. So the court in America or other consulate for trust if the document is true, they require that the first stamp by the normal church, and after they require a second stamp by the mother church for legitimate the act. Going in a church archive is always a best experience because you can. It's like open really an old book. You can imagine when the father go with the mother, declare the baby, they do the ceremony. By the way, also my godfather is a priest. So this, for me, is a big resource because he know all the priests here in Sicily. So when I need help, I ask my godfather, and he told me, Francesco, don't worry, you can contact Bob, because Bob is the priest of the church in Palermo. And, you know, this is a secret key for open the archive of the church here in Italy.
That's interesting, too, because I spoke to someone from the Church of Latter-day Saints. He ran into somebody, took somebody to lunch, and he told him he was from Sicily. And he said, well, you know, I've been trying to contact a priest in Sicily, but I've been having problems. He didn't answer me. I actually even sent a little money. And he said to him, well, you know, I know that priest. I know that church, I know that priest. So if you come to the town, what I will do is we'll go to the church, we'll go see the priest, and we'll see what happens. So they went there, and the priest let them in, and they had this, he said, a little stone room behind the church where, you know, everything was kind of locked up. And the priest said, you know, I can't leave you, I can't stay with you, but I can't leave you alone either. He said, but what I can do is let you in. And if you want to stay there, I'll lock the door and I'll come back later. So that's kind of what they did. I've thought about trying to contact churches several times. You know, my mom's family is from Torito in Bari, and they have excellent records on the Antonani, surprisingly enough, because it's a small place. My dad's family is from Naples, and the records are hit and miss. I did get some help from somebody that helped me find Sorrentino records. My dad's mom comes from two very noble families. One is Piramalo Capici Piccicelli, and her great-grandfather was Count Giacomo from Montebello, and he was married to Duchess Beatrice Capici Piccicelli from Capricota. Her mother was even more famous. Her mother comes from Caracciolo di Torchiarolo, from Prince Luigi. And, you know, I found some records on the Antonatis, found some good records, but again, they only go back so far. And I'd love to get my hands on some of those noble records deeds out there. And I did recently find out that Caracciolo, they donated all their records to the archives in Naples. And we were supposed to be there last April. Of course, that got canceled. We're hoping now to come in May or June of this year. And the person I'm working with said that, you know, she'll get me into the archives and find that. But that's a long story to get to a question. What do you need from people to help you to help them find their church records?
Genealogy is like a puzzle. More information you give me, more you help me. Sometimes, if you, for example, don't know the exact year when your ancestor born, can be really helpful if you know the date when the parents married. Because after this date, you can start to calculate when the kids born. Or can be possible learn about the brother or the sister, because will give me a better range for try to find the sibling. Also, you can help with the age of the parents. Why? Because in the past, it's not like today. Today, people married in Italy around 35 years old. Before, no. Before, when you was 18, 19, you are considered old. So immediately, you need married. So if you don't give me a date and told me my grandfather born 1820, I will add 18 and I can have a date, a small range for ask at the priest go to check during these 3-4 years, because it's possible they married the kids born at this date. So different information can help me. Also, another good information is if your ancestor was a man, because we have in Italy military record. When you are 18 years old, in the past, you need to serve in the Italian army. So they make a list of soldiers, and this list go by province. So if you don't know exactly the year when your ancestor born, so when was baptized, but you know maybe when he emigrated, again, with a math calculation, you can calculate when he born, and you can go in the church and ask the priest to found the specific year.
We'll be right back.
Italian Roots and Genealogy is proudly sponsored by Your Dolce Vita and Dawn Matera, connecting people to their purpose in life and continuing their legacy. For more information, contact Dawn at www.yourdolcevita.com. I did find, just by chance, some of those records for the military, in that there's a, I found a book from around, I want to say around 1860, 60s, 60, 61, something like that. And I found my great-great-grandfather, Filippo Caracciolo, and he was a lieutenant in the cavalry in the Neapolitan army. And what I also found was at the same time, in that same book, as a matter of fact, that there was a Bernardo Mohr, M-O-H-R, who was a captain in the Swiss Guard in Naples at the same time. And the interesting thing about that is that Filippo married Elisa Mohr, Bernardo's daughter. And I never thought I would ever find the Swiss connection. And like you said, it's a puzzle, or it's almost like a murder mystery, right? And so from that, I found a site that said, if you write to us in English, German, or Italian about Swiss records, we'll help you find something. So I told them about Elisa Mohr and Bernardo Mohr, and they sent me back a link to the records from the prominent families in Switzerland, in Lucerne in particular. And I found not only Mohr, but then all the connections back to the 1400s. Now, the Swiss, of course, they don't have nobility, but these prominent families all factored in. They were all, you know, like, I guess, mayors or governors or whatever you call them. So from that little book, it opened up a whole thing.
But, you know, I will give you another nice story about the military record, because we have two types of military record. One is the short version of the military record. It's called the Lista di Leva. The other one is the full military record. The full military record is called the Foglio Matricolare. So the short version is short because it's when you are 18 years old, like I told you in the past, you need to serve in the Italian army. But what do? They call out this young guy from a small town in the middle of nowhere and do a body test. So they check if you are good for serving the army. So it's like an old photo, because they stop the time of your ancestor when he was 18 years old, because they describe brown eyes, big nose, short, tall, good for serve, scar. So one time when you talk about founding record, one of my clients told me, I don't know nothing about my ancestor. I know he only came from this small town in the middle of nowhere, a town of 300 people. And the only stuff I know is he was really little, a little man. So when I went in the state archive, I take the book of the 300 people who serve in the Italian army. There is one, only one, who the doctor write he cannot serve because we don't have a uniform for him. He's too short for be a soldier. In Sicilian, the nickname is Piricuddo. Piricuddo mean little man. So when she told me this nickname, mia il report this, she said, is my grandfather. The name was Salvatore Provenzano, in fact, because after we found the real name and last name. She was super happy, say, Francesco, you found the mystery. You cannot imagine, Bob, sometime how many mystery I found during this job. Because like you said, it's like open a book and you start to read the story of your family. And you can learn a lot of stuff. For example, one time one client hired me, said, Francesco, I need you found the document of my grandfather. The name is like Bob Sorrentino, for example, no? And he born in the year 1900. So me, I contacted the comune and said, I need the record for Robert Sorrentino. And he born 24 November 1900. They told me, Francesco, we don't have no one born with the name, the last name, Bob Sorrentino. Say, no, it's impossible. She's sure this time he born in town. They told me, no, we have another guy born at this date, but the name is Angelo Celeste. Angelo Celeste in Italian mean blue angel. What I found? The baby was an unfound baby, an abandoned baby. The midwife see this beautiful baby with blue eyes and called the baby Angelo Celeste, blue angel. The baby was adopted by the family Sorrentino. The family Sorrentino emigrated to America and never shared the story of the baby. In fact, they are Bob. My client was the only one in the family who have the blue eyes because she came from Blue Angel, from Angelo Celeste, and not from the family Sorrentino. Do you understand?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is truly amazing. Now, so I will tell you, my wife's, she's half Sicilian.
Oh my God. She need to be proud to be Sicilian because we feel Sicilian before feel Italian. It's another word and a mix of story, culture, tradition. In fact, the Roman Empire, Greek, Arabs, really, really, we are really proud of the Sicilian heritage.
That's right. And we just watched The Leopard.
Oh my God, the Gatto Pardo.
Yes. But her grandfather came from, if I'm saying it right, my Italian is horrible, Sciacca.
Sciacca, I know very well Sciacca. Amazing town, beautiful town.
Yeah, well, we were supposed to go there too. But hopefully.
I know. This COVID changed a little bit the life of everybody. But
when I was researching her family, and my wife thinks I'm crazy until I find somebody in her family, then it's okay. But her mother was Josephine Poeta, Poetta, in America. I looked in the Antonati and I could not find Poeta any place. Then I found Proietto,
Proietto, yes.
Yes,
because this is right? abandoned, like the last name in Napoli, very famous, Esposto,
yes, right.
Mean put outside of Andorra, Esposto. So they call Esposito for this reason, like Proietto, abandoned, found baby. Okay, let's go.
Right. So now, I don't think he was abandoned because I did find his father and he had the same last name. But apparently somewhere in that line, there was an abandoned baby and got that name. So I do understand that whole thing. And then, you know, as I was exploring more, I never knew about the little wheel in the church and how that people would put a ribbon on the baby or something on the baby or a blanket. And there was I learned this by researching. I found that there was an American or Italian American, Giovanni Martini, who was with General Custer at the Battle of the Little Bighorn. And his original name, he was an abandoned baby in Italy. And his father actually did come to claim him at some point, and he told him no. And he wound up in America in the American Army in the 1870s, I guess it was. So that really gave me that whole quest about, you know, finding, you know, abandoned babies. But that story about how they named the baby for his eye color and putting that all, that's incredible.
That is incredible. Also, can you imagine you live in a family, everybody have blue brown eyes and you are the only one with the blue eyes. Sometimes you ask why, no? And I still remember when I shared the news, she started to cry in the phone. And she told me, now I understand why. I am no Esposito. I am the generation of a blue angel.
Yeah, and my wife, she has very, very light blue eyes. Very light blue eyes. Her father is originally from a Dominican Republic, so Spanish heritage, and her mother was Sicilian, full Sicilian, both parents. And Marion has these very, very light blue eyes. And when we did her DNA, we found some Viking. We found some, obviously, some, you know, North African and Arabic, of course. And then the Italian roots, which makes sense. But I'm trying to think. One of her grandparents was Gilardi was the last name. And I'm trying to remember. I'll have to send you some of the other ones. But another interesting connection to my wife is I have a friend from college. He's Sicilian descent. And he sent me a message saying, you have somebody in your ancestry tree, just mark with MR. Who is that? I said, that's my wife. And he said, well, we're related. She's a fifth cousin. So through the ancestry, I found out one of my friends is a fifth cousin to my wife through Sicily.
Do you know, me, I did for the first time the DNA test in ancestry. And it was funny because a lot of my client contacted me and told me, Francesco, the DNA match. Maybe we are cousin. Cousin of 007. So I have a 008, 009.
Yeah, I'll have to look and see if there's a Curione in Marion's family tree someplace or in her DNA matches someplace. You never know. You never know.
Curione is a last name really in the past, typical from Rome, because the Curione means Curia, and the Curia is an old Roman organization, so it was like a politic, like a small mayor in a city, so that means Curione. But of course, at some point, your tree stopped because you cannot find. The last possible is the church. But the church archive arrived at the year 1600. Before, you cannot know nothing. So I like dream. My family came from Giulio Cesare, from the real Roman Empire. Who knows?
Well, I've been able to find through my grandmother's mother all the way back to 950 in Naples. But they intermarried, of course. Every generation, you have more and more grandparents. And one of my great 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 grandfathers is Pope Paul III.
Oh, wow.
And I'm always suspect, right? But I did have it, verified with a genealogist who, does, charts and everything like that. And that family married a lot into Spanish nobility, French nobility, and I've traced all the way back to the Aragon, Capet, all of those families. And I'll have to send you the chart that Kai White did. You'd be fascinated by it. I have two popes that I found, direct grandfathers. Now, we know, theoretically, they didn't have any children. But his real name was Alessandro Farnese.
Oh, the Farnese, the famous Farnese.
his right, and the French embassy in Rome was his palace.
Wow. Who knows? Maybe you own some right.
I'd like to make a claim.
Yes, why not? But by that law, after 20 years, you lost all the right. So you cannot.
Well, this city hall in Capocotta was the Duchess's home.
Wow.
And now it's the city hall. And we were going to go, there are still a couple of homes, Piramalo homes in Calabria. I had no idea that I had any Calabria roots at all.
See.
And I'll tell you an interesting story about how I found all that with my family.
I love to hear your story because I can see the passion you have for the genealogy. That is like what I like. If you ask me why you help people, because I like people like you. For you, it's like reconnect the past with the present. You want to know because it's your story. It's fantastic. Making your puzzle, no?
Yeah. And when I was little, my mother always, we had the photo album, and there was always a card in there that I refer to as like a calling card from my great-grandfather, Nicola Piramalo. And I did not know who he was married to. I had no idea. And I was very, very young when my grandparents died. You know, I was maybe 10 years old. I never thought to ask. But then when I started doing my research, that's where I started with that card. And I Googled him, and up pops this, ancestry chart from Angel Fire, which I later find out was copied from the Libro di Oro. And I found Amelia Caracciolo. And this long line above her, of all her ancestors, but I didn't know if I the year was right. The year they got married was 1882. My grandmother was born in 1883, so that made sense. My father was the second son; he was Nicholas. My godmother was the oldest daughter. Her name was Amelia, so that all made sense to me. Right, the naming all made sense. But I wasn't sure. So I called my cousin who was named after my grandmother, Luisa. I called her and I said, "Do you know the name Caracciolo?" And she said, "That was Nanny's mother's name. Of course I know that name." So I said, "Did you know that they were nobility?" And she said, "Yeah, she used to tell us stories about that there was an admiral in the family and there was a saint in the family and her cousin was the princess. But we just thought she was crazy." But it was all true.
But tell me,
her cousin was the princess because her grandfather was the prince.
Your family and you still contain the Italian tradition, like cook some type of cookie, some type of pasta. You speak some Italian, some dialect word.
I speak very little Italian. I speak very little Italian, but food is, food is Italian.
Food is Italian.
There's no getting around the food. Yes, I still cook. I make pasta sometimes, fresh.
Okay.
All the sauce. I have some recipes from my grandmother, from both families, still have some recipes. My cousin, who's also a Piramalo, who we found quite by accident. My grandmother, there were only two Piramalos in America. My grandmother and her aunt, who came 10 years before her.
Okay.
And Linda and I found ourselves through Ancestry. She just did a cookbook. But I'm trying to get one of my Piramalo cousins from Italy to come up with traditional Italian recipes from Naples and put that in a book. Because what we cook in America, we call it Italian food because that's what we grew up with. And of course, we have the pasta and lasagna and the sauce and all of that. But it's not true Italian recipes.
I know. But I remember during my last trip in the USA when I meet a community of Italian, they invite me for the San Giuseppe table. At the San Giuseppe table is a long table of food during the San Giuseppe Fest. And they cook the pasta. Okay, don't taste like the Italian pasta because the ingredients are different. But I can say it was really good. But what was more important for me, each one told me, my grandmother teach me, and I'm continuing the tradition. And I will teach also my kids to do this. And they remember some dialect word, also me I cannot understand, because you know, what's the dialect of the grandfather. So it's not the dialect we talk now, our old word, they emigrate and bring like inside the suitcase. And they open in America. Some of these words are bad words, you know? But was funny for me, was funny. And another funny story. Yeah, go ahead.
No, well, what's funny about that is my mother was Barese, my father was Napolitan. So, and when they spoke, they were always criticizing each other, saying, you're not speaking Italian right, and you're not speaking Italian right. And they would have that little fight.
Yeah, because we need to meet in person there, Bob. And have a dinner or a lunch together.
Yes. Yeah. Well, definitely, I'm sure we'll get to Sicily sometime this year, but we'll definitely have to let you know we were going to go through Palermo and then make the side trip to Sciacca and all that. Where were you in Sicily?
40 minutes far from Palermo. My town is really strategic for moving in Sicily because it's close also to Sciacca, it's close to Taormina. I am in the middle, so I can move where I want without no problem. But like I told you, Sicily, it's really a treasure in the Mediterranean Sea. Arab, Byzantine, Greek, come and leave something. You walk in a street, you found an Arab church and mosque. Change street in the same city and theater. It's a mix of culture. And this mix of culture is also in the food. The street food we have is some part Arab, some part Greek. It's so nice. Also, the market outside, you can smell the food and you can eat with your brain when you walk down in a street. So if you come to Sicily, trust me, you will fall in love with Sicily. You never want to leave. You never want to leave.
No, I understand. We made one trip to Italy. I was almost like 25 years ago, and we went to Rome. Of course, you have to go to Rome, and then we took a train back to Naples, down to Naples, but we didn't really stay there because we were just getting a car and going down to Sorrento.
The question is, do you have an car automatic or with stick or manual?
Oh, stick shift.
So you are a real man.
Because and so does my daughter.
Usually Americans say stick. What is this? We don't have this in America. But Italy is not like America. In America, everything is flat. It is up and down, up and down. You need a manual car. Sometimes you need a donkey. If you visit some Sicilian town in the middle of nowhere, you really need a donkey or a jeep.
Yeah, and I had no idea at the time that my grandmother lived a half a mile from the train station in Naples on Via Carbonara. So we didn't go there, but we drove to Sorrento. That was fun. That was an experience. Dodging traffic in the main square in Sorrento was fun. And then I was crazy enough to drive the Amalfi Drive there.
Oh, wow, the Amalfi Gold. But
very exciting to do that.
But, you know, when you talk about Italy, you think at the touristic place. But for an American who wants to found the Italian roots, I think the best is visit the Angestor town. Because when you arrive in Tangestor Town, you will be the king of Tangestor Town. Because everybody will try to help you. We love American. We love American because during the Second Mundial War, we are really thankful to the American soldier. If you talk with an old man now, the 15th major of an American is a soldier who give candy and give freedom. So we never forget that. But again, when you arrive in the town, from the clerk to the mayor, to the priest, everybody try to give you a nice welcome. And also, if you don't speak Italian, you know, Italian talk with the hands. You can communicate. Oh, your house is right there. Come here. So it's funny. And if you don't find a relative alive, trust me, you will find a friend. They will invite you for lunch. You will be in a table with other 20 strange people. And they start to say, mangia, mangia. That in Italy mean eat, eat. And you need to finish your food. Otherwise, the old grandmother said, what's wrong with you? Why do you not like my meatball?
I'll tell you one last story that I think you'll find interesting. And that is that when my mother's parents left Bari, Torito, they left their oldest son with his grandparents.
Okay.
I heard two stories. One is that he was supposed to come by himself at some point. The mm-hmm. other one was that they were going to go back. Mm-hmm. But in any event, neither one of those things happened. He grew up in Italy. When he wanted to finally come, he had turned 18. So mm-hmm. he had to go into the Italian army. He eventually met a girl, my aunt. They got married. So all my cousins were all born in Italy from my Uncle Giovanni. And they didn't come to America until the 1950s.
Okay.
So a couple of my cousins have gone back. The house is still, they were farmers, but they actually owned a house mm-hmm. in Torito. And a couple of my cousins went back. The house is still there.
Oh, wow.
It was a two-room house, no bathroom.
Yeah. Yes, that's typical. No bathroom.
But to your point about the Americans and the war, I spoke with my cousin, my oldest cousin, who's about 90 now. And so she was, about 11 or 12. During
the Second Mundial War, they went in town and visit and meet some,
And so she remembers the German soldiers being there, the Americans coming in, running into the fields. When the bombers came.
Wow.
My cousin, Joey, the youngest from Uncle Giovanni, he, before my uncle passed away, he interviewed my uncle in Barese.
In Barese. I like your accent. Your accent is not bad. When you say Giovanni, Barese, sei molto bravo. Dovresti provare a parlare un po' di più in italiano. La prossima volta facciamo una videoconferenza in italiano. Next time we will do a video chat only in Italian.
Yeah, sure. Actually, in my mother's family, he was Juan. That's the way they... Juan. It was not Giovanni. It was Juan.
But you know one funny thing? If me speak in Sicilian, real Sicilian, and a man from Bari cannot understand my Sicilian. Like me, I cannot understand the dialect from Bari. It is funny because, in fact, the Italian state is young, born only 1866. Before there was different region, no? And each region still continued the tradition. And that is really... Sometimes people from North Italy, they say, what is going to say? What are you talking about? Please speak in Italian. And also the accent change. I'm sure you can listen to my strong Sicilian accent. But this is the original Sicilian accent. Because sometimes we watch mafia movie when the actor from North Italy try to be Sicilian, but they look funny because it's not a real Sicilian dialect. But like you said before, before you said, oh, I still, they found the house. Oh, you found the house in your ancestral comune. So for sure you see the original document in Antenati. We call the copia integrale, the full act. The full act, it's really an important story for your family, because it's right a lot, have inside a lot of information. The father go and declare the baby. First of all, you will read the age of the father for 24 year old. You will read the profession of the father. And this is really important. Example, in your wife's side, from Shaka, for sure, maybe he was a fisherman, because Shaka is in the close to the beach. And usually, these people emigrate to area like San Jose in California, where they can continue the work they do in Italy. So fishermen in Sicily, fishermen in America. This original copy also have the address where the baby born. So you can go to found the ancestor street. And trust me, in big city, maybe Palermo, no, it's not easy to go to found the right house, because they're rebuilding a new house. But in the small town, maybe you can see the house with the same door, the same prospect of the past. And you cannot imagine, Bob, how many people I see cry in front of this house. They touch the wall and say, oh my God, I can hear my grandfather, I can imagine here when he play like kids in this road. This is what me like in my job. This is the best experience. Of course, me work with the money. But sometime in the life, when you see the passion, that is the best salary you can have. And I can say that really, I have a lot of no client, a lot of friends. Like I consider you now a friend. I'm waiting the day you can come here and we can finally meet together. Because we are Italian, also you are Italian. We like kiss, hugs. With this COVID situation, the Italians are in a weird situation because we miss hugs and kiss. With this mask, we have like a barrier. We are really sad about this situation. So I hope the vaccine can work. I hope we can come back at a normal life. And we can finally meet in person, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. And for anybody who wants to use your services, how would they get in touch with you?
Okay, me have a business page in Facebook with 007 Italian Record. By the way, it's not only a business page because I feel like sometimes I'm an ambassador of the Italian culture. I post about food, I post about culture, tradition. Because I like sometimes American can travel with my ace, no? And they can learn more about the heritage. Or they can send me an email. My email is 007italianrecord.com. It's easy, it's my name. This name is funny, I told you. I was dressed during a wedding and people told me, you look like 007. So, let's go 007 Italian Record.
No, it is. Well, it is a name that you're certainly not going to forget. That's for sure. Well, I appreciate that. This has been certainly a lot of fun. And maybe we'll have to do another one. And I'll make sure we put all the links in there for everybody to see.
Grazie mille.
All right. Thanks again.